أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy because of his arrogance and his defiance. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We turn submissively to God and ask for his help and guidance because we believe he is the all-perfect one, the all-merciful one, and the one whose mercy and grace is endless. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. We were discussing the brief commentary on Dua Kumail, and I said as an introduction, in order to appreciate the importance of this dua, let's have a quick review of the background of the person who requested for this dua. First of all, the dua is not an ordinary one. It's a dua of Khidr alayhi salam, which Imam Ali alayhi salam mentioned it on an occasion and Kumail heard about it. So apparently it was not for public use, or it was not available in the public domain. It was something that Imam alayhi salam used to pray and supplicate in private. One. Two, Kumail is not an ordinary companion. When you go to a source and an authority who is full of knowledge and expertise and wisdom, how much you can gain from that source depends on how much you can take. If we appreciate that Kumail was an extraordinary companion, one of the elite companion of Imam alayhi salam, it'll help us understand this dua also is not ordinary that was taught to him. Three, it was in the darkness of the night that Kumail refers to Imam and requests and reminds him about this dua. Four, Imam alayhi salam in response tells him that had it not been for your closeness as a companion to us, we would not have granted this request. Five, this dua in other reports has been narrated to be recited by the Imam in the state of sajda. Given these different factors, we begin to appreciate that this is an extraordinary dua. It's not an ordinary one. Six, look at the power of the dua. Imam alayhi salam tells Kumail that even if you recite it once in your lifetime, your sins will be pardoned, you shall be protected from your enemies, and your provisions and rizq shall be increased. Once in a lifetime. Better still once a year, better still once a month, better still once a week. It's a powerful dua. In order for us to get a quick glance on the main themes that are covered in the dua, next slide please. I have broken it up, just for the sake of convenience, into six main paragraphs or six main themes. The first paragraph, we address God and we say, O Lord, you are the King who is all-powerful. You are the one who knows our problems. You have the power to solve them. You know our problems and you're kind enough and willing enough to want to solve our problems. You know what my problems are? I'm full of sins. Remove those sins and forgive me. You know what my request is? I want to get close to you. Paragraph number one. A general introduction. Who are you? Who am I? What are my needs? Paragraph number two, the dua gets a little more detailed and specific now. Oh Lord, I've come to you because I'm in desperation. I'm in need. There's nowhere else I can go to. Nobody else has the power to solve my problems other than you. And besides, I have seen from you in my past that you've always been kind towards me. That's why I've come to you too. Paragraph three goes one step ahead. It says, well, you know why I'm in trouble in the first place? Where did I go wrong? Why did I get deviated and misled? Well, the three big D's I keep on reminding ourselves. One is desires, two is the devil, and three is the dunya. Four is the decree. Oh Allah, you decreed I disobeyed, I fell into this trap. And now there's only one thing that can save me, and that is your munificence and your mercy. And then Imam alayhi salam gradually now intensifies the tempo of the dua. Now the dua is building up towards a certain peak and a crescendo. Imam alayhi salam starts talking to God in a different tone now. So I'm in desperate need. I'm in trouble. I know why I'm in trouble. But you know, I've come to you and I have so much hope in you that... is it possible, O Lord? Look at me. Look at this tongue of mine. Look at this face of mine. Look at this body of mine. Look at this heart. Look at this mind. It's a full, total creature who has sought you, known you, praised you, loved you, prayed to you, bowed down before you. Is it possible, O Lord, all the merciful one, that you shall send this one to the fire of hell? Next stage, Imam raises the tempo. No, it cannot be. It can never be so. Ma hakadha dhannu bik. Imam Ali Sam repeats this phrase twice. It's at the peak of that communication with his Lord. It can never happen. But if it does happen and you do send me to the fire of hell, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cry out. I'm going to shout. I'm going to weep. And I'm going to say, where is the one whom I always loved in this dunya? How can he abandon me here? Peak. And then finally he says, well, your mercy is so great. Your mercy is so unlimited. Your mercy is powerful enough for making this fire of hell become a cool garden. Lakini, your grace, your wisdom requires that. Yes, there are certain people who are so hardcore, unchangeable, wicked people that the only way to handle them is to punish them. In fact, the riwayah says even if the door of Jannah were the door of Jahannam would open and a slight breeze of Jannah comes into them, they get disgusted. They said, close this, we don't want it. If Jannah is the manifestation and the expression of truth in the dunya, whenever they saw the truth, they walked away. They acted as if they were disgusted. In the akhirah, when the truth it shall show itself in the form of Jannah, so also their reaction will be that of disgust. O Lord, had it not been for your wisdom, the decree of your mercy would have dictated that this Jahannam should have been closed down and it should have been turned into a cool garden. That's the peak and the climax of his communication. Communication is over now. He has presented his case. Now, conclusion. O Lord, right now, in this instant, in this moment, في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة, I want all my sins forgiven. Oh Lord, in this hour and this moment, special night, the eve of Friday, special grace comes down, special rizq comes down. I want you to include me in those who receive it. And oh Lord, whatever you give me should be such that my whole life should change. I should get khushu', I should get khidmah towards you, and I'm asking for khulus, the three fundamental pillars that can change my whole life. And this is the end of the dua then. You notice how it's a beautiful flow, logical flow, this dua of Kumail. After this brief glance and outline, let's go a little more into detail. Next slide, please. So paragraph one. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. O Lord, I've come to you because I believe your mercy is unlimited. And definitely, therefore, you are loving enough to want to help me. And then Imam alayhi salam mentions five different names of God that reflect that His power, His majesty, His authority. وأسألك بقوتك وبجبروتك وبعظمتك وبعزتك وبسلطانك. Five different names. O Lord, your authority, your power, your greatness, your majesty, your invincible strength, which dominates over everything. It is not possible for anyone to seek assistance from your power, and your power can fail to achieve that result. I've come to you. 2, you're kind and you're a powerful king. And 3, you know my problem. وَأَسْأَلُكَ بِعِلْمِكَ الَّذِي أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. You know my problem. And so therefore I've presented myself to you. What is my fundamental primary concern that when I talk to you that bothers me? اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحت كل عصم وتغير النعم وتنزل النقم وتنزل البلاء وتحبس الدعاء وتقطع الرجاء. These are my concerns. I've got sins which are killer sins. They have killed me spiritually. They have broken up all the barriers of decency that I had in my heart. My heart no longer feels. It has broken the barrier. It has become defiant because of its disobedience. And the veil of decency has been torn. And those sins are hurting me. Oh Lord, there are certain sins but for which I deserve to be punished. For which my risk should be cut off or reduced. Oh Lord, I have sinned. Sins due to which you no longer look at me or want to listen to me or want to answer my prayers. Oh Lord, all these sins are blocking me. They cannot allow me to reach you. I want those sins to be forgiven. My primary request. And then 3, I'm asking for something now, and that is أن تدنيني من قربك أن توزعني شكرك أن تلهمني ذكرك وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا. I want 4 spiritual gifts. 1, I want to get close to you. 2, I want to constantly remember you. 3, I want to be constantly thankful to you, shukr. And 4, I want to be content with all the gifts that you give me. Beautiful dua. Paragraph 1 over. A general introduction. Who are you? Who am I? What is blocking me from reaching you? What do I want when I reach you? Introduction. Next paragraph. The tempo now is beginning to rise. I consider... Next slide, please. I consider this paragraph as a detailed tafsir in the dua of that ayah of the Quran. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّءُ. This paragraph is a tafsir of this ayah. Observe. Allah says, who is there who will answer your prayer other than God if the person coming to him is مُضْطَر. So notice how Imam alayhi salam expresses how he is a مُضْطَر. He is in a state of darura. Oh Allah, I'm in utter need and desperation before you. Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala man ishtaddat faqatu. I'm a faqir, but I'm deeply faqir. Wa anzala bika 'inda ash-shada'id hajata wa 'azama fima 'indaka raghbatuh. Oh Lord, I experienced this, I feel this, and now I'm expressing it before you. This is my utter state of desperation. I'm a mudhtar. Idha da'a, when he calls out, to whom da'a? Who? I call to you and you alone. Notice how this paragraph makes the tafsir of that. You are the ultimate source of all mercy. Allahumma la ajidu li dhunubi ghafira wa la li qaba'ihi satira wa la li shay'in min 'amali al-qabih bil hasani mubaddilan ghayrak. Oh Lord, here I am. I have got no hope for mercy for my sins from anywhere else but from you. I have damaged myself, I hurt my mind, I've hurt my soul, I've hurt my body, I've hurt my family, I've hurt my friends, I've hurt the environment around me because of my disobedience and sinfulness. All this hurt and pain and damage that I've caused, there's no one who can cure and heal and repair and remedy it other than you. Da'ahu, I come to you and you alone. But am I wrong in coming to you? Is it unrealistic for me to expect you to help me? No. Look at your past. How many times, uncountable times in the past, you have definitely helped me. Kam min qabihin, Allahumma maulaya, kam min qabihin satarta, wa kam min fadihin min al-bala'i aqalta. وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. Oh Allah, there have been so many afflictions in the past. Nobody could save me. You saved me. You have shown me your mercy in the past. Oh Lord, there have been occasions in the past where I have been in a situation where the affliction, فادح من البلاء, the bala was fadih, it was shadeed, and I, with my own resources, I couldn't do anything. I made a slip, I made a mistake. You alone are the one who corrected me. There were evil deeds I did. If anyone else would have come to know, I would have lost my respect and status in society. I would have been finished. But you saved me, you protected me. You did not allow my slip and my mistake, the wrong word I spoke, the exaggeration I made, the wrong answer I gave, the yes I said to a wrong temptation, the many mistakes and slips I've made. Had people come to know, I would have been finished. But you saved me. No, in reverse, you made people come to me and praise me for something that I don't even deserve. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Who is the one who removes the affliction other than him? This paragraph is a beautiful tafsir of this ayah. Oh Allah, why should I not come to you? Allah, I've got problems, mega problems, ultra problems, big ones. Allahumma azuma bala'i wa afrata bi su'u hali wa qasurat bi a'mali wa qa'adat bi aghlali wa habasani 'an naf'i bu'du amali wa khada'atni ad-dunya bi ghururiha wa nafsi bi jinayatiha. Oh Lord, my problems are huge. My mind is not working. I don't know how to solve my problem. Who do I go to? Others don't have. Either they don't know my problem, or if they know, they don't have the power to solve it. Or if they have the power, they don't have the energy and the love and the compassion and the concern to want to help me, other than you. My big problems are the dunya. My big problem is the devil. My big problem is the desire. Help me, oh my Lord. These are my big problems. Next slide, please. This third paragraph starts with this statement where Imam alayhi salam says that, why is it that I've fallen into this problem? Why am I having all these problems and I've come to you? I have to seek solution from you. The devil, the desires, the dunya. And Imam alayhi salam says, إِلَهِ وَمَوْلَايَ أَجْرَيْتَ عَلَيَّ حُكْمًا اتَّبَعْتُ فِيهِ هَوَى نَفْسِي. Oh Allah, the problem, the core problem is here. In life, you showed me the guidance. Your decree was delivered to me. This is how you should behave. This is what you should avoid. But what happened was, my desires tempted me to disobey. One. Two, وَلَمْ أَحْتَرِسْ فِيهِ مِنْ تَزِّيِّينِ عَدُوِّي. My enemy came and presented this evil as a temptation and made it very beautiful. My aql and my conscience would not have accepted that evil. But the way that evil was presented to me was so beautiful, so attractive, so seductive, and I didn't take the protective steps and preventive steps. I allowed myself to slip. You didn't force me. You created the situation where I was to be tested. I allowed myself to slip. That was my problem. لَمْ أَحْتَرِسْ فِيهِ مِنْ تَزْيِينِ عَدُوِّي. A business proposal came to me. I turned blind to the evil side. I was lured by the attraction of the positive side. A woman came in my life. The way she spoke, the way she dressed, the way she presented. Though I had a halal woman, but the exaggeration, the decoration seduced me, and I made a mistake. That is where the core problem lies. فَخَالَفْتُ أَسْعَدَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْقَضَاءِ. Of course, your qada and qadar was there. You created the circumstance. You presented me in a test. That was your qada and qadar. But your qada and qadar was that, what am I going to do with my own free will in that situation? فَتَجَاوَزْتُ وَخَالَفْتُ. This is my problem. I knowingly and deliberately broke the law, transgressed the limit, and disobeyed. And as a result of that, فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ. All praise belongs to you. There is no fault and no blame on your side. I can't blame you. You are the one who made this devil appear before me, all this dunya, all these desires. The power given to us to be able to resist and to say no is much greater. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الْحُجَّ عَلَيَّ. Your proof is absolute. I've got no excuse in front of you on the day of judgment. This is the core argument. Imam alayhi salam is talking to God, but he's talking on a rational basis now. It's not based on the heart. Next, he goes to the heart now. He says, well, now I've identified the core problem that I have. What is the solution? Solution is I have to be humble. I have to be meek. I have to ask for forgiveness. To ask for forgiveness means I have to admit, I have to confess. So, قَدْ أَتَيْتُكَ يَا إِلَهِ. How munkasiran and nadiman and mu'tarifan and mustaqilan and mustaghfiran and muniban and muqirran and mudh'inan and mu'tarifan. 9 qualities that should characterize the state of my heart. My mind has clarified what is my position. My heart now should speak. Lowliness, humility, a sense of remorse, a sense of regret, a sense of unease and anger at what I've done to myself. If this is how I present myself to you, now, O Lord, I think I deserve your mercy. Now Imam changes the tone. Now Imam seeks the grace of the Lord. He says, is it possible, O Lord, that you will punish me? This face that has made sajda to you, this tongue that has spoken your praise, these limbs that have always come to your ibadah, this heart, this mind that has known you and acknowledged you, this heart that has sought you and loved you and yearned for you. My whole creation was an expression of a tawheed. Lakini, I slipped, I made a mistake. Sawa, I listened to my desire, I listened to shaitan, I fell into the trap of dunya. I made a mistake. But oh Allah, will you out of your mercy punish me? This whole creation, this vast universe, was all made so that the earth could come to life. Life on the earth took billions of years so animals could appear, plants appear and animals appear. Animals complete their progress till man appears. Amongst men, there are those who then accept you. They are the cream and the purpose of creation. Oh Lord, are you now going to, out of all this mercy leading to this conclusion, oh Lord, are you now going to punish me? This face and this tongue and this heart and this mind and this body. Amazing. It's an appeal from the heart now that Imam makes. And then he says, مَا هَكَذَا ظَنُّ بِكَ. Never ever will this happen. It is impossible. Your mercy is much too great to defeat the very purpose of creation. I think this is the peak argument Imam alayhi salam makes at this stage. And then again he appeals to mercy of God. Ya Rabbi irham da'fa badani wa riqqata jildi wa diqqata 'azmi. Oh Lord, you know I can't bear the fire of the dunya. Do you think I have the power to bear the fire of the akhirah and the jahannam, which was nothing but an expression of your anger and your wrath and your displeasure? Never ever. Let me stop here for the moment. The next paragraph now takes the dua a little further. The tempo builds up and it brings it to its crescendo, to its peak, where Imam alayhi salam appeals at the top level to God. Let's pray to Allah to get the tawfiq to be able to understand the main theme of this dua and how it flows logically, how Imam alayhi salam addresses God logically, how Imam alayhi salam addresses God through the heart, and how Imam alayhi salam addresses the very purpose of creation and why it's impossible for God's mercy then to defeat the wisdom of creation. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.